Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Wow, and we are back. It's Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Incredibly awesome guest, teacher in a strange land, author Nancy Flanagan. Need teachers? Question mark. Well, we talked a little bit about the potential solution in Michigan of recognizing expertise in the fact that retired teachers could be and bring in that expertise. Kind of fell a little bit flat, though, on the sense of the teachers saying, no, thank you. I was wondering, though, Nancy, how is it that we're at a point, and I know I'm asking this rhetorically to everybody into the world, but to you, why can't we get people to teach? What has happened?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. This problem has been building up for years and years and has been ignored. And there are many, many variables and many, many factors. But I think it was Lee Shulman who said, teaching is impossible. And that was before a pandemic and before we had a shortage of teachers. And teaching has always been impossible. When you think about it, 30 kids all over the map, teaching them to read, teaching them to calculate, teaching them to sit down. It's an impossible job. And then it just kept getting crappier and crappier. The layers of testing and requirements and teachers themselves saying, you know, my children will not be teachers, or I'm not going to help bring someone into this terrible profession, instead of working to fix it. At this point, we are probably beyond fixes. The state superintendent, he ran off a list of fixes, and they were things like pay tuition and loan forgiveness and recruiting kids in high school. They had a program in South Carolina for about two decades where they recruited teachers. They started in eighth grade. Mm. And they had a, future teacher club, but it was way more than that. It was, they got credit for these things. They started talking about pedagogy when they were juniors and seniors. And the program was really successful, and it lasted for about two decades. And then, of course, they had a governor who axed it, as unnecessary. And, who do those teachers think they are trying to recruit more teachers? It's gotten really, really bad. The pandemic has been the big flipping point. I frankly am dubious whether we can recover from this. And I'm generally an optimist.
I was going to say, wait a minute, this is not Nancy Flanagan, who I sat at the bar with in Washington, D.C. after a march on the Washington rally. And you talked about we were going to win this thing. And
yeah.
I am slightly concerned. I know Johnny, though, too, both of us being in teacher education, it's frightening as you talk about, I can see our pipeline just trying to keep students in. And Nancy, you pointed it out, but I've had truly that situation four or five times where a parent sitting with a student in my office who wants to become a teacher saying, we refuse to let them be a teacher. If they become a teacher, we're not going to pay their tuition. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking that, well, if that's what we're up against, the fact that, in Michigan, they put out some really decent ideas that could possibly help, but there's something else missing. And Johnny, you and I talk about this, is, I don't know, the big thing that I see is that if teachers don't get that sense of agency, the sense of wanting of that what I think, what I know, what I've experienced, the things that I'm bringing are of value. I've not heard one politician, one talking head talk about remoralizing the profession. And Johnny, we talked to Doris Santoro from Bowdoin College, who talked about the demoralization really from a research standpoint. But, you know, I wonder about this. You know, I'm even starting to see it in some of my faculty here where I'm working. The teacher ed faculty are starting to feel the sense of what's this all for? And I don't know, Johnny, if you had a comment or something back on that.
Well, no, Tim, I think we're touching on a really important topic here that has been and will continue to be on the forefront of future teachers' minds. And as we recruit those folks, but Nancy shared it here, it's a big moment. I think COVID really brought to the forefront for more folks that the way we're doing school isn't working for most children. It's not working for probably, I don't want to say all, but pretty close to all teachers, especially from our veteran teachers who put in, like Nancy, 30 years and have a bird's eye view of the system. And they have, you know, the experience and wisdom to share that how we did it could be so much better. And when you have retired teachers who say, no, it's actually hard for me to say no, because you do need help, but you also need to change things. The pattern needs to be broken. Right. And it's our retired teachers, I think, in this moment, who are going to look back to us, who have always said yes for decades. Right. Their care has carried our schools. And so now they're looking and saying, I want to help you, but I can't, because you need to change. And that's the whole thing. Right. The way we've done schooling is like a bad drug, and we're addicted to it, and we've got to break the addiction, and we've got to change things. And our most beloved educators are looking back to us with loving eyes and saying, I love you, and that's why you need to change, because I can't come back and enable these schools to continue to hurt kids and to burn out teachers, right? Mm-hmm. And so just because you survived it, Nancy, and I want to applaud you and thank you for not only your years of service, but your wisdom in leading our teaching community, because you're helping us to see that these are boundaries that not only need to be set, but that is actually the love and logic we all used in our classrooms, right? The love and logic to help schools change, because we can't come and enable it to continue anymore. And this is a big moment. And so I'm excited that retired teachers are doing that, as much as I need them and want them to come in and save the day, right? It might be longer term that saving the day was shining light on the fact that we can't go back to the way things were.
Yeah, it is completely systemic. And when, you know, before I came here, I was watching election returns, which are nothing right now, and thinking, how did this CRT thing, how did it get a toehold? How did it get so that every state legislature is, and you know, it's easy to blame it on the Koch brothers and then to blame it on ALEC and the model bills and all that stuff. But I do think parents are frustrated. I think they know that school could be better for their kids. Last year, it was not good for their kids. Even our most loyal fans. And so I think you're right. I think there's a big systemic mess that has to be cleaned up before we can solve this teacher recruitment problem.
Well, Nancy Flanagan, Teacher in a Strange Land. Check out the blog, Need Teachers. Nancy, we're up on a hard break. Thank you so much for your time tonight. More Busted Pencils. When we get back, Johnny and I will break it down.